Good morning, everyone. I'd like everybody to turn back to Zechariah chapter 7. You get the Zechariah chapter 7 quiz. What's an adamant stone? An adamant stone. We talked about it last week. Ladies, I even mentioned what were the optimum gemstones to wear every day. Okay. Nothing? Diamonds? Well, diamonds, yeah, but there's others that may cost a little more, but they're just about as hard. Okay. Rubies and sapphires. They're both corundums, and they're only slightly softer than a diamond, but an adamant stone was a mythical stone that was absolutely unbreakable. Absolutely unbreakable. It would be unobtainium or something like that, okay? Some kind of magical stone, but it's a description of a person's heart. How bad does your heart have to be that would be even God couldn't break it? That even God couldn't soften it. Even God couldn't make it tender by a rock-hard choice. And that's where the Jews were. God had done everything to bring them back to himself, but they chose, just like Pharaoh did, to harden their hearts. So let's open in a word of prayer. And we're going to jump right back in Zechariah chapter 7. Or actually, we'll go in chapter 7 and verse 11. So let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and blessing us. Lord, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that convicts, encourages, challenges, counsels and teaches. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you, through the Spirit, would teach us here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Now, I played with the idea that I was going to go and when the Apostle Paul was before the Sanhedrin giving his defense, they would stop their ears and gnash their teeth. That this, even the words and descriptions that God is giving Zechariah to see and record for us, have their follow on. In effect, they are prophecies of what in the future will transpire. Now, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. Remember last week I gave you the example of that. That was it's in Isaiah where the Lord says, come, let us reason together. You know, the Lord is always calling us to himself, and only those that refuse feel the hard hammer of God's judgment. These people, literally, in effect, like having a friend calling you close to counsel you, they shrugged the shoulder, they pulled it away in anger and bitterness. God, I ain't listening to you. Now, what would your child deserve? Let's just make it more personal. Your son or daughter, give them 13 years old, okay, feeling their oats, and does that to you. What response would you have? Oh, trip to the bedroom. I got my last beaten when I was 16 years old, and I earned it, and I needed it. I wouldn't call it a spanking. because I rolled over and tried to take the belt away from my father. That was a mistake. Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
So you might get them to comply. And that's the problem that God was having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So compliance is one thing, but a change of heart is another thing.
Absolutely. Yes. What my father did, it was almost vengeance. Okay? I cost him a significant amount of money by the error that I made. And that isn't what God ever does with us. In this situation, the people literally had turned away. How many prophets did they have? Many. Some of them they even killed. And they ultimately paid a very dear price for that. Let's read on in the text. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Remember, Zechariah, above all other Bible authors, uses that phrase, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Remember what it means? If you have a newer version, NIV or others, it's the Lord Almighty. A better translation, from my perspective, would be the Lord the General, the Lord the military commander of all the forces of heaven. The captain of my submarine, if I denied an order in time of war, my life would be forfeit. Be forfeit. Done. Game over. Believers, we are in a time of war. A war against ourselves, a war against the world, a war against temptations, a war against Satan and his minions, a battle that rages. And they would not listen to the commander's words. Verse 13, therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, they would not hear. So they cried, and what was the result? What was the result? And I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. I pleaded. I gave you the word of God, and you ignored it. I gave you prophets. And not only did you ignore them, you put their lives in danger and took the lives of some. And when you cry, my ears will not hear. Imagine God saying, I won't hear you. Parents, we will always hear, no matter how much it pains us. We will always hear. But God, in righteous judgment, has chosen not to hear. Verse 14, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passeth through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Now, if you were a Jew and looking at the temple, which was almost finished, you see, the fasting question came up because they were getting very close, as we would if we went to Ezra. The temple was very close to being finished. So all these habits of fasting and stuff, what was a legitimate question? We're almost all good again. But did the land ever not have anybody in it? More than that, and where did they go? Did they go to the nations? Or did they go to Babylon? So when did the Jews go to the nations? Really, accurately. Remember, this is a prophet. It has an applicable story to them, the Jews that heard it that day. But when did the Jews literally be removed from Palestine? And who did that? 70 AD, Jerusalem fell. But the real dispersion happened over a long period of time because there were multiple revolts, two more even after that. And the Romans literally hauled these people. There's a specific Greek island, which you might call the Amazon warehouse for slaves. They would haul them there, and anybody who wanted to buy slaves would come to the island, and the auctions would happen. And they were literally dispersed among every nation. And Israel ceased from existence, except as a location. When you read prophecy, you almost have to keep your mind in the present and in the future at the same time. Because God's words are true in both those periods. Okay? Let's read on in the text. Again, this is chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying. Now, chapter 7 and chapter 8 are a parenthetical prophecy, for lack of a better term. It sits answering a question that the people had as they were finishing the temple. So it's separate from all the prophecies that came before, and it is separate from the two key prophecies, all right, that we end with, starting at chapter 9, which talks about the rejection of the Messiah, this first coming, and then the reign of the Messiah, which is clearly, and we'll see it when we get there, Jesus' second coming, all right? So this piece, these two chapters, really are a thought unto themselves. So you got to consider the seven as you're reading eight. Let's go on. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with a great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with a great fury. Is all love the same? Is all love the same? Are there people who love with a great love? Are there people you love with a great love? You may like me, but Pete, I don't think you love me like you love Sandy. I mean, even in degree. How does that compare to God's love? The reality, if every single human being could realize how much God truly loves them, coming to Him would be far easier than all our missionaries find it to be. The power of God's love. But brothers, you know how much you love your spouse. How would you feel if she was unfaithful? Let's just touch the base there for a minute. How much does God love Israel? It's the closest comparison I can get for the guys. Ladies, flip the coin. Israel was not just unfaithful. She was beyond unfaithful. She was beyond unfaithful and rejected God. And God's description there was what? With a great what? Fury. Fury. Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and when dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Now, was that true in the time of Zechariah? Was that even true in the time of Jesus? Not really. When does God really return to Jerusalem to rule and reign, where all the nations will flow into it and will be ruled with a rod of what? Iron. True justice, righteousness will flow from the mountain of Jerusalem. Verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall be old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. How would you like everyone you know to be old person, live to over 90 years old? How about 100? See, Wally Brown lived to over 100. Many of you remember Wally. Wally, I would consider a close friend of mine. I was out working on an electrical panel for him, and we had to go get parts inside of Benton City. And he drove on the drive, we were talking, and then just as a little parenthetical statement, he said, oh, all my friends are over there. All my friends are over there. It seemed odd. It seemed strange that he would say, all my friends are over there. Just driving on, was thinking about the electrical panel. It was an electrical panel. It didn't have a ground very good. And lots of technical thoughts going through my head, so I just let it pass. On the way back to his place, to Brown Road, okay, Wally said, yep, all my friends are over there. And I said, I got to know what that means. What are you want to stop by and see them? Oh, no, Rick. That's the cemetery. Living to great old age today is not as much of a blessing as you might think, even if you have health. Because every person you've ever been friend with, every person that you've ever loved, or at least the lion's share of them, have passed. And that day, I said, you know, God, I'm going to trust you for how many years I have. Because this whole idea of the modern thing of living at all costs, Wally would counsel you on that. Wally would counsel you on that. But here, Ironside, I love Ironside's commentaries. Ironside was the pastor of Moody Memorial Church in the early part of the 20th century. His writings and commentaries are honestly some of the best that you can have in your library, in my opinion. And he said, wait a minute, God is talking about ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and what is he giving to everybody as a description of how great it's going to be? And what does he give as a description? Old people are going to be in the street with their cane or their staff. Now, my father-in-law didn't come to church very much, but he lived with a cane, and I didn't really understand the value of a cane until he had an opportunity to live with us. But even in old age, having the willing to just be in the street and be safe, and have joy, and talk to people, Do we value that today? When in the city of Chicago, more children have died from violence than have died in the complete pandemic since 2019 to today. And what does God give as the second description here? Verse 5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Now, how many of you remember when you played in the street? Street hockey. I played street hockey. All my neighborhood kids, we had tons of kids in our neighborhood. Parents today, are you very, 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 very careful on where you let your kids play out of your sight? Absolutely today. My parents didn't have a second thought about it. Well, you go on down and be home by dinner. Or you have dinner at their house. I don't care. Okay? That's the way life was. But God cares about not only the big things, but the little things of kids playing in the street. Wally Brown also had a list. In his lifetime, he literally saw his first automobile. He was old enough in his teens to see his first automobile. But he kept a list of all the things he had lost. One of them was the right to drive around in my car without a seatbelt. But the point was, is that was a choice. Well, it wasn't even a choice before. But he had a whole list of these things. And how much have we lost? There are places where older folks don't dare sit out in front of their house. They can be robbed or hurt. There's places where children do not dare to go into the street. Even going to school is a risk. But when God's world is all put together like the scriptures, all the true joy of life flows to the people that live as God wants. Verse 6, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes? Does God ever feel joy, happiness, victory? How many of you have made investments in your life? Anybody make investments, right? Have you ever seen them come to fruition? How did that make you feel? Well, exactly. God has been investing in the nation of Israel for eons. And it's going to come a day when he's going to see that come to fruition. Saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the what? East country. So what nations are east of Israel? You're going to be a Jew sitting in front of the temple listening to Zechariah speak. What's east of us? Babylon, Persia, Syria, okay? But now, and from the what? The West country. Nobody came from the West, only maybe Egypt, but no one came back to Israel from the West. Most Bible commenters that I have read say this is what's going on even in our lifetime. That God is calling back his people from the world back to Israel. Calling them home. From the east and from the Which way is east and west here in the building? Bob, do you remember? That's east? From the east and from the west. This is north and south? I guess. That's north. That's south? In any case, get in your car, look at the little marker, and follow what it is, okay? I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophet, ye that hear in these days. We're not them, but we're hearing the words. These days, by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. Have you noticed something? In Christianity, with the great challenge of COVID, I've heard of whole churches that melted down. I've heard of families who have melted down. Everybody turned against his neighbor. Everyone needs to walk in the Spirit and stand for what they believe. But that's a lot different than me making an edict on you to believe like me. I ask the same that I give. You have the right and the response, as with all rights, you have the responsibility to stand before God with whatever decision you make. It's not up for me to judge you in that situation. I can counsel, I can provide information, and you have to make a choice, especially a choice in COVID season, that either choice you make or multiple choices you make, any of them can kill you. Sadly. Here in the nation of Israel, because it was so hard, instead of everybody working together, serving God, serving their community, they started eating each other. Take heart that in the family of God, love is first, unity is second, and we never sacrifice truth. But I never judge you. It's hard to do that because we want to be so right, don't we? We all want to be perfectly right. And we all would like us all to believe the same. Absolutely. Is the Bible what I would call absolutely clear on all passages? Is the Bible exactly what God wanted it to be? Yes. So he wants us to, as iron sharpeneth iron, each of us love even sometimes the differences we have. It drives us to know our own position better. And perhaps you wake up one day and realize maybe you were wrong. No? No? Okay, well, I'll let you stay that way, sister. Maybe we were. God is truth. Verse 11. But now, I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess what? All things. My view here is a look towards the millennial reign, where God's going to restore the earth as well as his rule on earth. And let's read on. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, the house of Israel, so will I save you. And ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. The Jews, have they been valued by all people for all time? By no stretch of the imagination. Did you know that I heard first about the persecutions of Jews by Christians when I was in high school and we went to the great synagogue in Spokane? It's a conservative synagogue, so they forced all of us to sit up in the balcony while he was down below speaking to us. And he shared all the suffering he had in his native country of Hungary, being persecuted by Christians, but by everybody else. The only person that persecuted Jews wasn't just Hitler and the Nazis. But lots of people have considered them a curse. After the Roman dispersion, they were literally thrown to all the countries of the world. Many of them went to Eastern Europe. But just how much of a blessing have the Jews been to mankind? Have you ever pondered that? How much of a blessing? Here's just a few. Jews, a blessing to all. Real practical inventions. Blue jeans, lipstick, the ballpoint pen, instant coffee, television remote controls, traffic lights, Scotch Guard, and the flexi straw. Just a few. Well, let's go on. The atomic bomb, genetic engineering, nuclear chain reactor, and virtual reality. Discount stores, pawn shops, shopping cart, and ready-to-wear clothing industry. All creations of Jews, people, descendants of Abraham. The polio vaccine, radiation therapy, chemotherapy, the artificial kidney dialysis machine, the defibrillator, cardiac pacemaker, vaccination against hepatitis B, and vaccinating needles and laser technology. Google, wire, the fax, microphone, the microprocessing chip, fiber optic cable, cellular technology, and video recorder. The ultimate answer here is at least 178 Jews have been awarded the Nobel Prize, accounting for over 23% of all the Nobel Prizes ever issued. Of an individual recipients worldwide, Jews currently make up 0.025% of the world's population. There has not been a people that has been able to touch so many lives in so many ways as the Jews. But they are the people that God has chosen to bring forth the Word, to bring forth His Son, and Satan hates them beyond measure. And thus the world hates them beyond measure. But they will and are a blessing to the world. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought on these days to do well unto Jerusalem and the house of Judah. Fear ye not. Thus are the things that ye shall do. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. We have a little problem with that today, don't we? Maybe not with your neighbor, but how about coming out of various governmental agencies, the truth? It's almost you've got to grab them and wrestle them to the ground to tell the truth. The expectation is that our form of government demands that the people participate in it are honest and truthful. Herein lies the key issue. Let's read on. These are the things you shall do. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. How hard is that? Exactly. Mrs. Warner has been the greatest gift I've ever received. But there are times I'm not that appreciative, especially when I'm making comment about somebody who just cut me off. Now, I don't cuss, but I make sorts, I'm hoping that you don't make it off. Anyway, I think evil about my neighbor. But the fact remains is, what about those same unhonest people in Congress? Do we think evil about them, or does it drive us to our knees to pray for them? Not easy, not easy. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. Now, I just didn't stop reading about George Washington after I did my Such a Cloud of Witnesses presentation, and I came across an event that I think ought to be an encouragement to everybody. When George Washington swore the oath of the presidency for the very first time, he actually swore it in New York, and when he swore to be president, what was the next thing he did? Because people don't teach you these little facts. They're not interested in getting the perspective that our founding fathers may have had some love for the scriptures. He literally bowed down and kissed the Bible. And then they all went off to church for a prayer meeting to pray for the new country. Now, brothers and sisters, can you imagine any of the presidents we've had in the last 20 years kissing the scriptures? And after they become president, everybody, we're going to the National Cathedral and we're going to have a prayer meeting. I'm not so sure. They're too busy going to the inaugural party. The issues we have are not just one spectrum or the other. They're systemic. Systemic. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying. So chapter 7, most of chapter 8 are each of them a single revelation from God. But now the last piece of chapter 8 is very important. The last piece of chapter 8, all right. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, cheerful fasts, therefore love the truth and peace. Now, we studied two of the fasts last week, the fast of the fifth month and the fast of the seventh month. You guys remember what those fasts were to commemorate? The burning of the temple in the fifth, and the killing of the Persian governor that literally, you see, there was two separate assaults on Jerusalem. The first, under Coniah here, literally didn't destroy the city nor burn the temple. They were bribed, they went home. But a Persian governor was put in place. Now, what happens when you kill your Persian governor? He was a Jew, by the way, but he was endorsed by the Persians. Okay? what happened at that, excuse me, by Nebuchadnezzar. I'm sorry, I was 70 years earlier. I apologize. Nebuchadnezzar put him in place. He was endorsed by the Babylonians. And now for almost 10 years, he is in charge of Israel. Until one of the folks of the princely line decide, as you can read, if you take it, Jeremiah chapter 41, you can read about it in the seventh month, that they literally killed him, all the Chaldeans that were with him, all the Jews that supported him, and they chucked him in a well. And then they ran off to Egypt. And that is what precipitated the ultimate destruction of Jerusalem when the temple was destroyed some 10 years later. Now, we have historical evidence. This is one of the chronicle tablets of Nebuchadnezzar. And he records the first siege of Jerusalem. And the best as we can determine was about 598 or 597 BC. And it talks about how he took treasure from the city, but he doesn't describe that he burned it to the ground and destroyed it. And in fact, when you read the scriptures, you'll find that it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar that came the second time. It was his captain of the guard, and his mission was the destruction of the city. And it was, I'm talking about a destruction. They took the brass of the temple and broke it up and sold it all. They burned the city. They burned the temple. They destroyed the walls. It was just like what the Romans did a few centuries later, that they would literally pry apart the stones to get the gold out. And thus everybody goes into exile. But thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month and the fast of the fifth month. It just so happens, the fourth month is when Jerusalem was taken. A few weeks later, the fifth is when they burned the city after they got all the people out of it. The seventh, we talked about that. That was, the seventh is when they killed, in the seventh month is when they killed the governor and what precipitated all of this. And the tenth month, I'd like you to turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel chapter 24. And specifically verse 1. Again in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day. Even this same day, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this day. God wanted the Jewish people and us to remember the day that Nebuchadnezzar came and set himself against the city. The city was taken back, just as the tablet says, but that was the day that they really lost the control of their lives. This is when they lost their city. And they would commemorate those the whole 70 years that they were in exile. And they would have fast those days. But do we have faiths today that have a regular fast? Remember when you were a kid, every place that you'd go when you were at school, what happened on Friday every day? You got fish. Why? Because that's what you were supposed to eat on that day. It was a religious celebration for Catholics. Thus, they would change the menu, and we all ate fish. Okay? But the fact there are others. But how many of them would actually remember the day for why they have fish? I don't even remember the day. Having repetitive things, it's easy to forget why you have them. Well, that's what the Jews were having problems with. And that's why the chastisement of chapter 7, and then where you get to chapter 8, ultimately, these were going to be a celebrations. Verse 20, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people, and in the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Now, how many times did you have a brother or sister says, can I just come over and have prayer with you? No, not as often as probably maybe we could. During the millennium, it's going to be quite common for people to do those kind of things. And let's read on. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, the skirt there is really an interesting word. It means the flap or the edge. It's also translated wing, but 12 times in the Old Testament, it's translated skirt. But the fact, as Pastor has been preaching on Sunday nights, that Jews have a very important, I know, it's 10 minutes till, okay? I still got 1 minute left, all right? That the Jews have a very key part to play in the millennial kingdom. So, let's close in a word of prayer and we'll be finished because everybody's coming in. Heavenly Father,